So once upon a time, or so the legend goes, there was a servant whose tasks included a daily walk to the stream to fill two large vessels with water for the master's household. Each day the servant followed this narrow path to the stream, summer and winter, rainy days and cloudless beauties. He filled the pots nearly to their brims and then made his way slowly and steadily back up to the house. The vessels were carried into the kitchen, where the water would be used for cooking and for washing. By night, the vessels were empty and left by the door ready for the next morning's trip. As the pots aged, one of them began to develop some small cracks. Nothing much, really, not at first. But over time, the weight of the water and stress of all kinds of weather began to take a toll, and the cracks grew larger until the vessel began to leak. At first it was a small amount, and so the kitchen staff always drew their water from that pot first. But as time went on, the pot leaked more and more. And one day the pot asked the water bearer why was he still using it. It had gotten so that nearly half the water was gone from the pot by the time he made it from the stream to the kitchen. The servant stopped on the pathway and told the pot to look at the ground as they walked along. "You see, when I first became aware of your leak," said the water bearer, "I planted flower seeds along one side of the path. When I return from the stream, I always carry you on that side, because as we walk along, you water those flowers every day. They grow tall and beautiful because they are well cared for, and they make a delightful bouquet for the master's table. You see, even cracked pots have their uses. And yet, in our world, cracked pots often end up in county landfills. We live in a disposable society, in a time and a place where we expect products to wear out on a regular basis, and we build into our budgets their replacements. We now expect to upgrade our computers and our cell phones every 2 or 3 years. My dad and his generation could repair just about anything on a car and keep it running for years and years. It was a mark of pride to surpass 200,000 miles. Today, you can barely do any of your own maintenance. Even changing a tire requires a professional-grade tool. Dad repaired just about everything in our house when I was growing up. By day, he worked at General Electric in Syracuse, but by night, he repaired televisions and radios for customers, either in our basement or in their own homes. And nothing was beyond repair in his world. Handle broke off a mug, there's epoxy to fix that. Worn out socks, well, they would get darned. When I grew too tall for a pair of pants or a skirt, my mom would let down the hem or add a ruffle, or sometimes both. Good as new, or very nearly, each repaired item received a new lease on life, a different picture, instead of a disposal, as it were. The term disposable society was coined in an August 1st, 1955 Life magazine article entitled Throwaway Living. Even then, our culture was witnessing a tendency toward overconsumption and a precedence for short-lived or disposable items over durable goods that could be repaired. Today, we feel the repercussions of that. In response, some folks have even started to boycott online buying, which results in a large amount of cardboard and other shipping materials. Communities have recycling programs to keep glass and plastic and aluminum from filling up the landfills. Our state just outlawed those single-use plastic bags in stores. However slow and painful it may be, we are learning there is a consequence to our emphasis on disposability. The current leader of the Roman Catholic Church worldwide, Pope Francis, frequently speaks about our throwaway culture, in which unwanted items, unwanted people, including the elderly and the poor, are discarded as waste. In his second encyclical, entitled Laudato Si, he discusses pollution and waste and the lack of recycling and the destruction of the earth as symptoms of this throwaway culture. This idea of throwaway living is not a new concept. When Jesus encountered those 10 lepers in the gospel reading from Luke for today, he was traveling along the border between Samaria and Galilee and on his way into a village. Jesus was in a marginal place, and he met 10 marginalized persons, 10 lepers. Leprosy was considered incurable in Jesus' time, a disease to be feared. And so persons deemed to be a threat to the public health lived in a form of exile. They were sent out into the country to combat loneliness and to share resources. They sometimes congregated together in communities. And if they were lucky, the family and friends who cared about them might bring food to leave for them at a safe distance in a sort of no man's land. It made for a pretty bleak existence. And they were not the only disposables of Jesus' society. Often those labeled as demon-possessed were found outside the villages. Various other illnesses and disabilities could also leave one an outcast. And for some, like that woman Jesus encountered in another setting, the one who'd been bleeding for 12 years, her stories in Luke 8, they were outcasts even in their own home, in their own village. And yet, in every one of those instances, Jesus breaks through the boundaries to restore what's been broken and lost. Jesus not only heals the lepers and drives the demons from the possessed, but he brings them back into the embrace of society. Jesus reclaims each one, reminding us that each is a holy vessel whose brokenness is never beyond the reach of love and grace. Poetically translated to golden joinery, kintsugi is the centuries-old Japanese art of fixing broken pottery. As described on the Metropolitan Museum's website, rather than rejoin ceramic pieces with a camouflaged adhesive, the kintsugi technique employs a special tree sap lacquer dusted with powdered gold or silver or platinum. And so once it's completed, beautiful seams of gold glint in the conspicuous cracks of ceramic wares, giving a one-of-a-kind appearance to each repaired piece. This unique method celebrates the artifact's unique history by emphasizing its fractures and breaks instead of hiding or disguising them. You will find this kintsugi technique often makes the repaired piece look even more beautiful than the original, revitalizing it with a new look, giving it a second life. New look and a new life. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthian church. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. The old imperfections and flaws, the hurts and the pains, the brokenness and the sins of our past find forgiveness through our faith in God and in Jesus the Christ. They may not disappear, but in the healing of our brokenness, something beautiful emerges. Many of us remember the brokenness that plagued Northern Ireland in the 20th century. For 3 decades, the people of that region were caught up in a period of political conflict and violence, known as the Troubles. The conflict pitted unionists against nationalists, with the future of governance in Northern Ireland at stake. Would the region remain part of the United Kingdom or declare its independence? The political split also largely represented a religious divide, with Protestants wanting to remain in the UK, Catholics wanting to secede. Over 3,500 people died in violence between 1968 and 1998, most of them civilians. Bombs destroyed property throughout the region, including the first Lisburn Presbyterian Church in County Antrim, 22 miles west of Belfast. Victoria Emily Jones wrote in a 2016 article found on the Art and Theology website, that church was badly damaged when a car bomb went off in Market Street in August of 1981. The explosion ripped through the church, leaving its roof, plasterwork, balcony, organ, and windows in serious need of repair. And when the church members gathered to begin to clean up, they salvaged much of the broken glass from the shattered windows. In an interview with Jones, church member Nora Boyle said, I could not possibly have witnessed the scenes that I did and the reaction to them by the congregation without having my faith in God and my love for First Lisburn deepened. Joan's article continues. As a witness to its hope for peace in Northern Ireland, First Lisburn decided to remain in its location and rebuild. One of the major questions it faced in this process was what to do with the 17 windows that had been blasted, whether to restore their former pictorial designs or to create new ones. The property committee decided to honor the church's heritage by having artists recreate the previous designs, except for one of the clear glass windows. This window is a memorial of the bomb blast on the 5th of August of 1981. The subsequent restoration of the church and the halls, it's a tribute to our neighbors in shops and offices and their will to overcome disaster. It is an echo of the motto of this town, Ex igne resurgam, which says, I will rise from the fire. It is a witness to our faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lisburn.com offers this description of the window. In the center is the orb of the earth. Surrounded by the red of human suffering, injury, sin, and sorrow. But overcoming this are startling shafts of light radiating outwards like a great cosmic explosion. This symbolizes the resurrection of our Lord, recapitulated in the spirit of the congregation, the town, and the province, rising from the ashes of destruction. And around it all are woven palm branches of victory and peace. Here and there, small triangles of light may be seen as splinters of flying glass or the tongues of the fire of the Holy Spirit. It is the congregation's memorial of a past event and a proclamation of their faith in the victory of righteousness, love, and life itself over the powers of darkness and death. An irradiating spiral alludes to the explosion from Lisburn's past, but also to a different kind of explosion, the explosion of God's resurrection power, which is still active in restoring broken people, places, and systems to wholeness. And the photograph was taken by that church's pastor, the Reverend John Brackenridge, of First Lisburn Presbyterian Church. Cracked pots, broken pottery, shattered windows. All can be made new in our world, a different picture emerging from the brokenness, as can humanity. Made in the image of God, loved and cherished by the God who holds power over resurrection. As we continue our Lenten journey toward Easter and the resurrection celebration, let us remember the resurrection power that's at work in each of us, taking our hurts, our sorrows, even our scars, and creating a new picture, a faith story, work of art. Amen.